Hello, guys. Welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And you know what? Let's do this again. There wasn't enough energy. Let's start again.
This seat is quite noisy as well, which is quite annoying. But yeah.
3, 2, 1. Hello, guys. Welcome to the Black Spin Global Podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Much better. Much better. You know, I know some of our listeners are like, guys, it's been a couple of weeks. Where you at? We're here now, okay? Sorry, we're here. But we're very much more active on social as well. So just because on the pod we might not release an episode as much as you want, remember that we're very much active on social. How are you, Eugene?
Good. Happy Halloween. Well, do we celebrate Halloween? I'm not sure.
I would say happy costume day.
Costume, yeah, I like that.
Happy costume day. But my thing is that, I mean, you know, we black, so that's why.
But no, I'm good, Lucy. I was going to say, like, kind of drained with all, like, the tennis, but I'm not. But I kind of am. But we are winding down now.
We are winding down. Because, year, so. Yeah, after the WTA finals and ATP finals, I'm done, finish.
How are you?
You know, I'm good. I'm good, you know, just been a bit, you know, but I'm good. Lots of tennis that's been happening. Lots of news, tennis news that have been happening. That have been happening. But obviously, we are Black Spin. And the biggest news for us, of course, and where we have to start off, is our girl, Victoria Moboko, who secured her second title of the year, her second WTA title against Christina Buxer. Yeah, in Hong Kong, a 250 title. Massive shout out to the 19-year-old. She has just been killing it, especially that, you know, like you mentioned it, actually, I didn't, but you mentioned it, how like people were talking a lot about her and her performance after her first title win in Montreal. Against Naomi Osaka. She secured her 1,000 title. And yeah, it's been like up and down, but obviously we were not worried because again, this is her breakthrough year. She's really starting her career, went to Asia. Bear in mind as well, she had a minor injury as well when she fell one of her matches as well. But little by little, she was just getting there. You know, the Japan Open, she lost to Rebecca Nar. The quarterfinals, and she actually had like a very good match against Andreescu as well. Her first round was against Andreescu, and that was really, really good as well. But I think I feel like the Japan Open really did help her get to where she was for Hong Kong. I think that was really great. But yeah, she had all of her matches were three setters as well, so she really had to fight through in all of them. The match that people were talking about the most, of course, was the one against Alexandra. Is it Ayala?
Ayala, yeah. I want to say Ayala, but yeah.
Ayala, the Philippine princess, as they call her. the two of the young players who really had a breakthrough this year, which is what's really exciting. I didn't watch the match because, to be fair, the Hong Kong time zone is just ridiculous. Like, the matches are literally during in the middle of the night. Like, it's not even a thing of like, oh, let me put an alarm on, blah, blah, blah. Actually, when I think about it, I used to do that a lot before. I don't do it as much now.
I think come Australia, we'll see. Let's see what happens come Australia.
True, but I'm saying years back, I was the type to really be like, let me go sleep and then let me put on an alarm to wake up at 3, 4 a.m. to watch like a match. And I noticed, maybe it's age. Maybe it's the fact that I'm outside too much.
Getting old. I was going to say that, but yeah, no, I'm not.
But apparently that match anyways was really, really good. Both were like, it was like a head-to-head type of thing. If you look at even the stats, it's extremely like close, especially from their serves to their points and so on. But yeah, she did get a walkover for her quarterfinals. I think Kalinskaya.
And Kalinskaya, she retired in the second set. But Mboka was she was leading. She won the first set 6-1.
She won the first set 6-1. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then another fire match as well against Fernandez, which I was, when I woke up and I saw that she beat her, I was like, oh my gosh, another three setter as well. Obviously two Canadian players. And then she got into the final, which actually apparently was the longest final of 2025 in the WTA.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in 2 hours and 49 minutes. So yeah, look at our black players taking these long matches. Coco and Qin Wenzheng during the Rome Open. I think that was semi-finals. That was really long as well. But yeah, I mean, Boko, like, she had to recover. Like, I think she had she lost 3-0 in the lead in the second set. And then that went into a very long tie break as well, which Brookshot won, but then she secured it in the third set. So a massive, massive, massive well done to Victoria Mboko. How do you feel about her win?
Yeah, no, incredible. I think everything you said is it sums it up. I think after Montreal, we established, she went on a losing streak. So she didn't win a match until she got to Asia. So I want to say it was 5 or 6 matches. Mm-hmm. And I think exactly in Japan is where she started to pick up wins when she got to the quarterfinals. Yep. But I think we've said it before, obviously we've been speaking about her kind of all year. Mm-hmm. Just the progress from, she started the year ranked 333 in the world. And now after this win in Hong Kong, she's a top 20 player. I was looking back at
number one Canadian player as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. I was looking back at our tweets over the year. And one of the things we said, I said it, I was like, oh, don't be surprised if we see Mboko seeded come the French Open next year, as in 2026. Mm-hmm. I mean, she was seeded at the US Open this year. So she kind of beat that already.
Yeah, exactly.
But now to think that she's a top 20 player, she's, I think, currently 18 in the new rankings.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. And I also like the fact that she's had to kind of play potential rivals in the future in terms of Ayala, we said, the Filipina.
Yeah.
Leila Fernandez as well. I think she also played Maya Joint en route to winning.
Gibson,
exactly. Another young Australian.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point.
And I like the fact that she's already, we're seeing these matchups, because Mboko, she's only 19. So she's gonna be around for a long time. And the fact that she's already established or already won. Or winning at this age, it's just a very exciting kind of future in prospect. And I just look forward to watching more of her in 2026 and beyond, man.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure. I'm not sure where, is that the end of her season for her?
Yeah, so Hong Kong was the official final tournament on the WTA tour. There are 125s happening this week, but... Yeah. Yeah, in terms of 250s, 500s, that's it. But then obviously, we've got the WTA finals currently happening in Riyadh. So the season is officially over, really and truly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So massive, massive well done for Victoria this season. Definitely, she is definitely one of the top stories this entire season.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Without a doubt. And it's just nice seeing the young new players coming in. And I'm looking forward to 2026 for her, going to Australia Open and all these other
as a top 20 seed. Incredible.
As a top 20 seed is really, really good. So far, so quick. And of course, the fact that she has a female coach as well just makes it even, it's nice seeing that in from a player that's at the top. So you now have Mira Andreeva as well. You have her. So more of those as well, more of that visibility. So yeah.
Natalie Tozier is her coach, former French player. But yeah, massive, massive shout out to Mboko, man. Huge.
Shout out to Congo. Shout out to Canada, I guess. But yeah, staying with the women, obviously, right now, guys, it is the WTA finals. And Eugene, I've got some news for you. Just a quick score check. Rebecca just beat Iga in the last set. Bagel.
Damn.
Well, guys, this is what's happening right now. But yeah, as you know, the top players are, you know, fighting for that big fat check. You know what I mean? So yeah, right now they're in Riyadh. Obviously, it actually already started yesterday. Sorry, guys, we're a little bit late. You know, we've been busy a little bit.
It started on Saturday.
Saturday?
Yeah. It started Saturday.
I'm probably confusing the dates then. I don't know why I said... Yeah, yeah.
But it's fine. Yeah.
My bad. Yeah. Obviously, we have... we had Coco's match yesterday. That was her first match against Pegula. Tough match. Tough match. Unfortunately, they were against some issues with the errors, the serves. But I felt like Coco just did not feel comfortable or at ease on court at all. Like, she wasn't really like herself. And Pegula definitely took advantage like of that. I do feel like... I'm not saying Pegula's not a great player, but I don't feel like Pegula did the maddest of things for her to win the match. I really felt like it was a lot more of Coco, hence why, because really and truly, Pegula should have won that match in straight sets. So the fact that Coco could have at least even picked up that second set was even like, to me, I was even surprised because of the way that she was playing. I felt like Pegula could have taken it, but it just shows to you how much of when Coco's not playing her best is really that when Coco's losing such a match is and she's not playing her best, it's really all up to her. So, yeah, I mean, how do you feel about her being... let me just ask you a tough question. Do you think Coco's going to defend her title?
It's tough. I think it's a weird time. Like, I feel like this time of year... it's like a bit of a free hit for everybody, if that makes sense. Like, in terms of form, I know, yeah, obviously she won Wuhan like a few weeks ago now. But like, just in terms of like the group, for instance, so they're in the Stephanie Graf group. So it's Sabalenka, Paolini, Pegula, Goff. Like, obviously Sabalenka's the number one player in the world. She did beat Paolini, which we'll talk about a bit soon, but... Just if you look on the, if you look at that group on paper, Sabalenka is the strongest player like in that group, and then obviously you'll go with Coco being the third seed or third player in the world, Pegula being number five, Paolini being number eight. Like, so to answer your question, basically, long way, very long winded.
Yeah, you're very long. Just say it, innit? Just say it.
I personally think Sabalenka is the favorite to win the whole thing.
Okay.
So, yeah, I hope that kind of answered the question.
Yeah, it does. You're just not saying she is not defending.
I can't say it.
I know. I hear it.
And honestly, Lucy, as well, I don't feel like it's the end of the world as well, like if she doesn't 100%. Defend. And I also feel like from the vibe I'm getting anyway, like she's not putting mad pressure on herself, which I love because, like I said, this is basically... it's the end of the season now, and like you can argue and say that it's almost like a pre-season in terms of obviously we are in season and it's like tournament mode, but like we all know, we've kind of had these conversations before, like the off-season in tennis is so short, so there's no time to really work on your game or like refine things before restarting in Australia. So I feel like players do use this period, even though they are playing in a prestigious event, they're also like fine-tuning their game like at the same time, and I feel like Coco is kind of doing that as well. Like, so yeah, I can't really see her being too like disheartened. Obviously it's not nice to lose, but
yeah
that match was very topsy-turvy, like you said. It was very up and down. Like, nobody was fantastic, and like Pegula did not play her best tennis and neither did Coco, but I guess Pegula was able to kind of like just play the bigger points better. And then ultimately, that's why she came through. So, yeah, I guess that pretty much sums up Coco's first match at these Riyadh finals. But
yeah,
I'm not looking into it too deeply. Basically,
right? I mean, I actually think it's not going to be any of the big three that's going to win the title.
Interesting.
I don't think Iga's going to win. Sabalenka, I. because of the fact that everyone, have you not noticed, anytime we say Sabalenka's gonna secure a title, she doesn't.
She looked good against Paulinho though, man. She looked very, she does, she looked on it.
Fair enough.
On it.
Fair enough. But I'm not saying because she can't. I think the issue, not the issue, but I think with Sabalenka is that when the pressure is on her, I don't think she knows how to handle it as much. But I think out of all of the big three, she is the one that seems more fit, more relaxed as well. And is one of the, has she won? She's won a WTA finals before.
I want to say she has.
I can't remember the top of my head. Yeah, Apologies, guys. But yeah, so I think there's more like eyes on her. I think someone like, I might just say it. I think someone like Rybakina or Pagula might come do a madness.
For me, Rybakina is a great shout. Like she's probably my second favorite.
Or even Amanda. Like you really just never. I really think that one of the underdogs are the one underdogs, of course, are the ones that's going to come and secure it, because Paolini, she's actually ill. She was coughing like a lot during her match and stuff. Like she was 100%.
She's playing doubles as well, which is
and
tough.
She's playing doubles, and which she even lost today with Sarah Rani as well, or yesterday, I can't remember. But yeah, I have more of like the underdogs than the actual big players to secure this, because they have more eyes on them and so on. So and the top eight, that it's stacked. It's stacked. So you just never know. But yeah, I mean, I believe Coco is facing Paolini next. Let me double check right now before I make something up. Yes, she is. She's facing Paolini next tomorrow. And we also have Sabalenka and Pegula tomorrow as well, which is going to be really interesting. But yeah, I have one of the Rybakina or Pegula or Amanda to secure that title. But yeah.
So let's look at the Serena Williams group now. Madison Keys, the first time we saw her in action since US Open.
Yeah.
I was not expecting like much, if anything, to be fair, because she just hasn't played much tennis. Mm-hmm. So yeah, she did lose to Swiatek. I think it was 1-2, 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I mean, Iga looked good, but then at the same time, it was like, you got to think about who she's playing and like the kind of, the lead up into the match, there wasn't much of a lead up for Keys. Like I said, she's coming in off the back of the US Open. She's not played, that's 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely have to factor that in.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like you said, the back in her, she took out Anisimova and also in straight sets. I do like the look of her back in her, and I feel like her kind of run to kind of qualify, because don't forget she was the final, she qualified in the kind of, yeah, she had to play a few tournaments basically to qualify.
She had to play, yeah, and then as soon as she qualified, she was like, well, bye.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I don't blame her, she's real. No, she's real for that, 100%. That's totally understandable, yeah.
But I'm like she's obviously had like an up and down season, but then at the same time, she's a Grand Slam champion. Like, we know what she's capable of. Like, I think her career high is what, number 2 or 3 in the world. Like, she's a serious, serious talent.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, yeah, when she's on, like, she is definitely one of the best, like, in the world. And I feel like I said, she's my second favorite behind Sabalenka, just kind of going on kind of form, basically. And from what I've seen so far, like in Riyadh, or the little I've seen of it anyway. So, yeah, I mean, I didn't watch Iga Rybakina today, but to get bageled in the final set, that is kind of mad.
Yeah, yeah. And by the way, to go back, this is why I was confused. Sabalenka has never won WTA finals, but from 2022, she reached the final, the following year, semi-final, last year, semi-final. So, yeah.
And what you said as well, like about the field being stacked, like it's so true. Like literally every one of these players have either been to Grand Slam finals, they're Grand Slam champions, like
won a 1,000 title.
Serious.
So yeah. When you guys are doing your little, oh, Paolini sneaked in to the WTA finals.
And that? she's playing double, like, and she's playing doubles. Like, just can we let that sink in?
That's true.
She's a top eight player in singles and doubles. Like,
yeah.
Who else is doing this?
Wrap it up.
The closest person.
And the annoying thing is that. Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say the closest person to kind of doing or coming close to what Paolini's doing is Mira Andreeva. But obviously, Mira Andreeva didn't qualify for the singles, but she did qualify in doubles. Obviously, Coco in the past has.
But that's why they were making those comments because they were like, oh yeah, but Mira, she won 2 1,000 titles and blah 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 and blah blah blah. Yet Mira pulled out of a tournament. Because people thought that she couldn't qualify because she didn't have a visa to go to the Tokyo tournament or something like that.
Yeah, that wasn't the case.
But actually, that wasn't the case. She just pulled out of it. Mm, it was a team decision. So next time, when you're talking about the Queen of Italy, know your facts. Yeah? All right, cool. That's it. But
So that means Rybakina's through then, no?
What do you mean? Rybakina is playing the WTA finals.
No, but I'm saying she's through to the semis because she's won two matches.
So, let me tell you something, Eugene Allen, and to our listeners. I know a lot about tennis. But when it comes to how the WTA finals and the ATP final scoring works, I am sorry, I cannot help you out. You see, I'm trying my best here, guys, okay? ATP finals, I even used to go in person. I didn't know what the heck I was doing there. Who's the next player after the match that I'm watching right now? I paid money to go into that O2 and I still had no idea what was going on. So please, Eugene, you may need to ask somebody else that question.
More qualified, stop it.
More qualified.
I'm pretty sure she's through because she's won two matches. So she's got one more match left. I'm sure she loses, she's still through anyway.
So with Coco, if she loses the one Paolini, she's out.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the only thing that I knew.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that I know. Okay.
So both Paolini and Coco, it's a must win for both of them. So they both need to win to kind of stay alive in the tournament.
So
the whole round robin is an absolute mess. It's a shit show. Yeah, but it is also quite exciting because
it is.
There's Jeopardy. Definitely. Like a lot of Jeopardy involved from like early on. So
yeah. What do you think about the name of the groups, by the way?
It's funny. I don't understand. I've never heard of Stephanie Graf. I've heard of Steffi Graf, but not Stephanie Graf.
See, this is how you know that we need more tennis people behind the scene, because this is how you know that whoever put that probably never even knew who Steffi Graf was till they put that thing together. Let's be real.
I like Serena Williams being like, yeah, kind of honored.
Some people were like, oh, it's random that it's two different names. I feel like it isn't, because to me, I feel like the two, I don't want to put gender, but it is what it is. But the two female goats to me are Steffi Graf and Serena. And if someone asks me, who's your goat? I will say Serena. And if they say you can't pick Serena, I will go Steffi Graf. If they say I can't pick Steffi Graf, phew, you know.
Wow. As like, in female goats, we're saying.
Female goats are 100%. Okay. 100% Venus as well. But when you look at the accolades and stuff.
Yeah, no, of course.
Steffi has done stuff that Serena hasn't even done. So I'm not too mad at the names.
I think also that the actual name of the trophy is like called Martina, like the Navratilova trophy or something. So that they're basically paying homage to the greats of the game. Stop it.
Anyways, well done, ladies. We will catch you guys up after the WTA finals, and we'll.
What about doubles? Let's talk about doubles, man. Like, we can't forget the doubles. Obviously, we said Paolini and Irani, they're the top seeds, so they're in the Martina Navratilova group. They have won a match, but they also did lose one.
They lost today, yeah.
So in their group is Shay Su Wei and Yelena Ostapenko are the six seeds. Mm-hmm. Veronika Kudermetova and Elise Mertens, fourth seeds. Asia Mohammed and Demi Schuurs, who are the eighth seeds. And then in the Lizelle Huber group, it's we've got Taylor Townsend and Katerina Siniakova, who are the second seeds. Gabriela Dabrowski and Elaine Routliff, third seeds. Tamia Babosch and Luisa Stefani, seventh seeds. And Mira Andreeva and Diana Schneider, the fifth seeds. Townsend and Siniakova, they did win. They won their opening match on Sunday. So they're in good shape. But Paolini and Nirani, they're one and one. So they're in pretty good, they're in a good position. I think if they basically win their next match, they're through. But just on Paolini, I do think it's tough playing both singles and doubles, man. Like, that's a lot. Physically. Yeah. And mentally too.
She's always been the type that kind of always had like a busy schedule. Last year, she was playing a lot. This year, again. But I think, like I said earlier, she's actually not feeling like well.
Do you think in 2026 that she'll probably cut back? Because I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be surprised, but I don't think so. I think she would still like keep going.
As in doing both.
As long as Sarah is here. And Sarah doesn't look like she's going anytime soon.
She's technically her coach. Like, she's always in. And I love seeing it.
I love seeing it. You know, like, Irani is someone who's been in this for like such a long time. So it's nice to just have her around. So yeah, I'm not mad at it, but I feel the only time I see Paolini not playing doubles is if she literally, if Sarah wraps it up and it's like, yeah, I'm out. Because she hasn't made it as far as she has with Sarah, with like other players. Cause remember, she used to play doubles with the other Italian player. I forgot her name. Her surname starts with a T, but yeah, she used to play doubles with her as well, but it didn't make it as far as she has with Sarah. So I'll be really surprised. I think she'll still play it, but it won't be like mandatory all the time like she does with Sarah Irani at the moment.
Okay, interesting.
So yeah, but a massive, massive shout out and well done to both of them. Taylor and Katerina are playing tomorrow. Like you said, yeah, they've been breezing through. Do you think Taylor and Katerina will still play against each other next year? In doubles?
I don't see why not. Because they've had a pretty successful kind of last couple of years. I don't see why they would break that up. Fair, but we all know Townsend. Like, no matter who she plays with, she's winning.
But that's the same with Katerina as well, because Katerina has won. They both, I think the reason I'm asking this question is because both of them have won a title in doubles without each other.
It's like,
are they trying to, you know, obviously their schedule are different, so you just never know. But yeah, that's why I asked that question. But shout out to the girls. Hopefully, you know, everything all breeze through.
Big shout out. We should also shout out Asia Muhammad, because this is her debut as well.
Yes.
Like at the final. So she's playing with Demi Scherz, the Dutch player. And and before we finish with the WTA finals, we didn't post about it, and I think that's kind of my bad, but I did like the kind of pre-tournament pictures, like, so when they would get dressed up.
That's the very big moment for tennis Twitter. That's our Met Gala.
And apologies guys, so that's my bad for not posting about that.
That's our Met Gala, but
I liked every single look. I don't care. I think everybody looked pretty good.
I liked Coco's. I really liked Rybakina's as well. And there was one more person. But I think those two, Rybakina's one, I really liked her dress. I feel like it fit her well. I was surprised a lot of people mentioned Sabalenka. For me, Sabalenka, I was not a fan of her dress. I felt like I feel like sometimes Sabalenka's like off-court dresses, sometimes it gives like early 40-year-old woman, and it's like, you're still young. And you know, but this is me, my opinion only. You know, I'm not saying she looks or behaves that way, but I'm just saying sometimes some of the selection, like that dress is something that I would not suggest that for a young babe like her. But we need to remember, they are in the UAE, you know, got to cover it up, you know. So you might not have that many, you know, options. But everyone was going on about, I think maybe because of her pose and her makeup, like everything is nice. Because Sabalenka is a fashion girl. Like normally I love her fashion. Like I only follow her on IG for her fashion stuff, not for her tennis. I only follow her because she's fun and whatnot. So I expect a little bit more. But yeah, I liked Paolini's dress a little bit with sparkly as well. But yeah, Rebecca's and Coco, I really did like it.
I think Coco did her own hair and makeup, she said as well.
She said she did her own hair and makeup, which is really nice, especially the fact that she had like natural hair. So when you guys were out here making some comments like, we know, if you have afro hair, you know that it's extremely difficult to style it. So the fact that she was able to style it and in with that humidity,
I was gonna say, the conditions.
The conditions, she did a wonderful job. I just wish that the WTA put a little bit more, I don't know. There's no excitement going into this WTA finals. There's no like, this is the WTA finals. This is one of the biggest tournaments, and there's a lot of money that we're spending on this. And these are the top eight players are facing against each other.
I don't know. I feel like they are doing. They're trying to. And
there you have it, Eugene. Trying. We should not be trying. The way I see it is that these players have put in too much time, effort, and done all these things throughout this year. They deserve more than that. Yeah. I feel like the players deserve a lot more than that. And you can tell that, I don't want to get in trouble, but you can tell that there was a thing where someone messaged them like, yo, you guys need to start posting, tell the players to start posting, because the thing is, everyone was like, where are the pictures? What's going on? Yeah. All of the sudden, all of the players posted at the same time.
Because obviously we know there's been a recent like rebrand, like, and this is for me part of that. Like the kind of new way of doing things, like
exactly.
On social
media,
that's why
I thought the WTA finals this year there will be there should have been a whole campaign before this WTA finals started. There should have been like a whole thing, like to just like if you're not a tennis fan, you don't know about it. To me, that's insane.
I feel like the schedule being the way it is, Lucy, is tough. It's so tough to get in.
I'm sorry, Eugene. That's a silly excuse. Silly. Sorry, I am not with it. I'm just saying, considering the year that the WTA has given us, especially compared to the ATP, considering the players that we have in these top eight, whether it's singles and doubles, considering the matches that they gave us, considering the stories and the matchups that we've had, the girls and the fans deserved way better. We should have had it should have been building the momentum. The only reason why we're still excited about it is because we know what is going on. But still, something around it should be bigger than what it is. With that amount of money and that amount of quality players that we have, we shouldn't just treat it like it's just 1-250.
No, listen.
I don't know. I really wish there was more effort. Maybe locally over there is making noise, whatever. But in terms of like what's outside of that, it's not giving considering what it is, and it's a shame. But I know for a fact someone must have probably called the team like, can you guys start posting? Because the way all of the players posted at the same time was strange.
It's like fishy going on.
Something fishy. Is what is it again that auntie said? It seems like a scheme that Todd has set up. But yeah, anyways, enough for the ladies. Let's go. Let's have a quick talk about the Rolex Paris Masters. Obviously,
quick. Listen, you've got to give Felix Auger and Seamus.
No, we have no. Oh, so next time, let's pod at the earlier because right now it's too like going on. Exactly. Mr. I am busy. Uh huh.
My bad.
Exactly. Oh, gosh. But yeah, actually, before we get into that, you know, Paris Masters, it has moved from Bercy to La Défense. I don't know if you saw some pictures, but the seats were crazy. Whereas Paris Masters, that is daylight robbery. Why is category one you're sitting so far? What's wrong?
No, go on. Because I'm intrigued what you're going to say.
Oh, okay.
Category one.
Yeah. I mean, like the seating chart, which is the most expensive seat. It's meant to be the seat where it's A-star. If you see the pictures, it's like the court was basically so far from like the seating.
And this is in the main arena.
The main arena. Really crazy. And apparently, like the vibe, the Bercy vibe is way better than
really. What did you make of it just seeing it on the TV? Because I liked it.
With those slow ass courts. Is it clay season or is it hard court season? Please tell me, Eugene.
It is Paris, so that's where it is.
And what did Roger Federer say a couple weeks ago? Exactly. I don't like. It was literally just like Indian Wells again. Remember Indian Wells? It was so slow. Like all you're seeing is just errors and just vibes. It's just, I don't like slow courts. It's not even just for the players. Even for me, as someone who don't play and I just watch. The one player that really made it easy, obviously aside from Felix, but one player that really made it easier for me to watch it was Bublik. And Bublik is someone where when he comes to those courts, it's fine with him. And it's perfect. Another player I think would have really benefited from that court, Francis.
Oh, yeah.
Francis. I kept thinking about it. I was like, my boy should have been here. But it's all right. It's okay. We'll be back next year. So, obviously, the champion of the Paris Masters, Jannik Sinner, who is officially world number one.
Again.
A 3-month suspension couldn't stop him. The RG final couldn't stop him. His crampings left, right, and center couldn't stop him. He's still number one. Ladies and gentlemen, don't ever chat about my WTA. Don't chat about my girls.
Listen, we're not going to do that, you see. I think he deserves a lot of credit, though.
No. He deserves, like, to me, Sinner is that guy. I've always said it. I feel like people always mistake my comments and think that I'm that. People don't realize I'm actually dissing more of the other guys than Sinner. To me, Sinner is that guy because if you can go through all, it's true. If you can go through all of that and still end number one and still secure Grand Slams and still people cannot beat you, there's nothing you can say. And he's actually a fantastic player. Like when I was watching his match against Shelton, I was even kissing my teeth. I was like, bro, I can't even beat Matt. That's the thing.
It's so annoying.
Like you'll be watching the Sinner match, yeah. You're like, yeah, let me hate watch real quick. There is literally nothing to hate. Like you're just watching it. You're just like,
Too good.
Fair enough. He is such a great player. Mm. And it's just out of nowhere. Like, you're thinking, the rally's going. One silly shot and you're just like, bro, how do you do that?
There was one, because obviously I was working yesterday during the final, but I had it on the screen next to me. There was one shot, I think it was like a passing shot on the forehand wing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, this guy,
he's not
again, he's not playing tennis. This isn't
he's
tennis.
Not play- this isn't AI. Like Bublik said, AI. Sinner is not a real person. He's literally AI.
Just with Felix,
Yes, fine, go on.
We loved the fact that obviously he came through, he got to the final. That was the second Masters 1000 final. Kind of similar to the back end. We all kind of know that Felix and Lorenzo Musetti, they're playing for that final spot for Turin.
Mm-hmm.
So like a lot was on the line. And like the way he just kind of went through all of his matches, basically just kept winning and winning and winning and winning until it got to the final. Obviously, if he won the final, he would have secured his spot in Turin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Obviously, fell short in the final. He played a very good match, though, Lucy. I know it was straight sets, but it was competitive.
Oh, yeah. Which I expected, especially after the US Open. So I was looking forward to it. Like, I really wanted that to be our final matchup, to be fair.
Exactly. And for me, what I liked about it is the fact that we did kind of post this as well, like on the socials. Every match, Felix basically got better with each passing round. So I think his first three rounds, he came back from a set down each time to win in three sets. Mm-hmm. And then in the quarters, he beat Valentin Vacherot in straights. Obviously, Vacherot is on this insane run.
Yeah, he cut that cousin reunion experience. He said, enough.
And then Alexander Bublik, your guy, again, Bublik playing out of his, he's playing out.
Yeah, he's playing.
Literally playing the tennis of his life right now. Again, Felix handled that in straight sets, like pretty comfortably. And then, like we established, playing Jannik Sinner is a completely different equation. Like it's not, he's literally like nobody else on the tour. Him and Carlos Alcaraz are the best two players. And it's by like a massive, massive distance. But Felix held his own, man. Like, and I feel like, again, with compared to like Grand Slam tennis, best of three sets, you're always going to have a bit a better chance of winning because it's literally best of three, not best of five. So if you manage to kind of stay kind of with your opponent, mm-hmm. win a set, then it's literally a one set shootout. I was praying that Felix did get a set. Obviously he didn't, but I feel like, and he should be definitely proud of his like efforts in Paris and the fact that, yeah, now he is literally the number eight player in the race. So mm-hmm. he's not playing Metz. He did pull out of Metz. He was due to be playing Metz this week, which is a 250, but mm-hmm. he's pulled out because he said he was basically carrying an injury. Mm-hmm. So he's basically resting up. And I also feel like, and I'm interested to kind of get your take as well. I feel like this wasn't in his kind of plan in terms of 2025 qualifying for the ATP Tour Finals. Like, I feel like he's happy being where he's at in terms of being back in the top 10. And he's content with that. Like, I don't feel like he feels he needs to be at the ATP Tour Finals, basically. Like, I don't know if you agree or disagree.
I mean, I think he probably feels like more like, okay, the opportunity's here, let me just grab it type of thing.
Because I feel like if he felt that way, he would have played Metz to literally guarantee himself that he'll be there. Like,
but I'm pretty sure I saw that he's still playing. Because I was getting confused because I kept seeing people saying, oh, he pulled out of this tournament, blah, blah, blah. But then when I saw on the ATP Instagram and they posted like the next two tournament, which is in Greece.
Yeah, he's withdrawn. He's withdrawn, Lucy. So it's on the ATP Tour website.
Yeah. Okay. So if Musetti doesn't...
Musetti's got to get to the finals in Athens now.
No, I think Musetti has to win the title, not just to the final.
I thought he has to get to the final.
I think he has to win it. So if he doesn't do that, Felix gets through.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, we're good then, because...
Okay, yeah, no, you're right. So yeah, this is on the ATP Tour website. So ninth place Lorenzo Musetti must claim the title at this week's ATP 250 in Athens. The Italian will join countryman Yannick Sinner in Turin. That's if he wins. So like you said, he's got to win the title in Athens. And I think the top seed there is Novak Djokovic. it's a lot.
I don't think Musetti's going to win a title. I don't think Musetti's going to win. I don't think so. Has Musetti even won a title this year?
Good question.
That's what I'm saying. Hold on. I'm looking
this
at
year,
here.
Yes. No, he hasn't. He hasn't this year.
He hasn't. This is what I'm saying. He's won. He's got to finals. He's got to semi-finals, quarter-finals. And before you Musetti fans come, if you know me, you know that I actually do like him. But he has not even won a title. When you guys are talking about, you're talking about Draper and Shelton being a sneak. That's a real sneak. Respectfully, of course. That is
I love the way you address these pieces.
Listen, I will remember anything that you said. You might say on 3rd March 2019 that this player, that I will bring it back. Come on. Like, literally, they were out here talking about everyone doing sneak. How can someone who's not even won a cheeky 250 title make it all the way to the ATP final? Even Felix won a title this year. He even got...
Won a couple of titles this year.
He got even in the final. He was in a crazy run, especially at the beginning of the year. He's out here being at going deep at the US Open.
Musetti's had a good year, though. Like, obviously, that's why he's a top 10 player. But
and then that's what I'm saying. I don't discriminate that. Hence why I do like him. I think he is a hardworking player. However, come on.
I hear you, because of that.
I don't think, but you never know. Maybe him knowing that he wants to go to the ATP Finals is going to push him and motivate him to win a title. But I don't think... I'll be surprised if he wins it, mainly because he has not won anything this year.
Mm.
And say what you want, Novak is Novak. And he says he's not going anywhere. So you know. And it's a big, big tournament for Novak because he just moved to Greece as well because of political issues from his home country. So obviously the crowd's going to be behind him a lot as well. And you know, oh yeah, that's why he doesn't. That's why he's there now. He moved there like a couple months ago.
Did not know that.
Yeah. He literally moved like some safety political thing. I don't know the in-depth issue, but I know that's like basically the context behind it. So the country are going to really be rooting for him. And you know him, he loves it. Oh, he loves it. So, you know, we'll see. Other than that, obviously we have to shout out our boy, Ben Shelton, who came back. Played really good matches. Obviously he lost to Sinner. His first match was against Koboli, which I think the head-to-head was quite tight as well, especially that he needed to beat him one more time to be Koboli's daddy, and he is.
And also that also confirmed his spot at the ATP Tour finals.
Yes, well, that's that exactly. It did. Mm. He then played against Rublev as well, played a really good match against him. First set went into the tie break, was a very entertaining match. And then fell to Sinner in two sets.
Eventual champ.
To be fair, Shelton that match as well, aside from the fact that Sinner was playing good, Shelton that match was really off. Yeah, like
his second
serve of the first set was at 20-something%. It was, the serves was not it, but Sinner was playing, like he didn't give a damn. He just still played his best. Like, yeah, soz, mate.
I don't know if you've seen there's clips or there were clips around on social media like before the match, so you know when they're like waiting to come out onto court.
I saw it. Yeah.
He didn't look. Yeah, and
there was rumors that apparently he has food poisoning.
Yeah, like he wasn't. That's what I'm saying. He wasn't physically. I don't think he was physically 100%.
But
he's one of those people that he's not going to come out and say, oh yeah, like I wasn't feeling well. Like,
listen,
he's coming out to compete.
Yeah, exactly. Shelton is someone he can be injured, not feel anything, and he will still look at you and be like, yeah, I'm fine. And
I'm battling.
You know, that happened. Mm-hmm. I'm battling. But either way, you know, following his US Open, having to pull out the US Open and stuff, he has been trying to come back. And safe to say, yeah, Paris was his best one. He lost to Munar in Basel, which was very difficult for me, but Munar did not lift that trophy. Exactly. But Paris Masters, he really came back through, and now he is going to be the ATP Finals, which I would love to go to the ATP Finals.
Cheering.
But the tickets that I hit costing 400 euros, do I know why? How can the tickets cost more in Turin than when it was in London at the O2? Please explain that to me.
Inflation.
No, the inflation can't be that bad. I'm sorry. I'm not taking it, bro. Whatever the PTPA said on that thing, yeah, I agree. Because come on, man, bro. Like, I just want to watch some tennis. Why are you putting me 400 euros?
Just on my, because I completely messed up my Felix stat, the doubles. He did win the Paris Masters doubles, I can confirm, in 2020.
Okay.
With, yeah, Hubert Hurkacz. So, yeah. Kind of, that's a geeky stat, but if you know, you know, basically. Shelton at the finals. Hopefully Felix is there too, but it does depend on what Lorenzo Musetti does in Athens. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. But as it stands, Felix is there.
Yeah, so we could potentially have two single players at the ATP final and one double player at ATP finals as well, which is pretty cool. So, yeah, looking forward to that. Before we wrap things up, obviously there was a big news that dropped when we were off.
Scheduling.
In the middle of ATP players and WTA players complaining about the calendar out here, you know, retirement.
Tone deaf? No, I'm joking.
Retirement from tournaments, being injured, saying they're tired. The ATP have decided that, you know what, to make you feel better, here's another Masters event for you, all right? Another Masters tournament. But, you know, we're not going to make it mandatory, so you can come if you want. But there's a big fat check as well.
It's key. That's key, though. That is key.
You know. It better be a big fat check. Like, come on. But yeah, in case you've been living under a bubble, which I don't think that you've had, there is going to be another ATP Masters backed by Saudi Arabia, which is going to be from 2028. They haven't really set a date yet specifically, but it will only be for 1 week rather than 2 weeks. And most likely, apparently, it's going to be in February.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, yes. January, February, whatever. So it might be right before the Australian Open or right after the Australian Open, which is another debate, because after the Australian Open, it's also the South America tournaments that are going on. But
for the men, yeah.
That's for the wild. Men. So, yeah, a lot of talk about that. Listen, I understand that this is a world sport. I always say that we should include it, which is why I wasn't really for people being against the WTA finals, being in Riyadh. But I think this was bad. Not honestly, this is the timing of it is bad. Do you get what I mean? But at the same time, do you know what my biggest takeaway when this happened actually? It showed to me the shift and the difference between the unity of top players being together and fighting against certain stuff compared to before.
Yeah.
Back in the days, when the ACP or WTA are doing something, all the top players are coming together and be like, no. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Literally, this is how the ATP was formed. They got tired and they were like, nah, that's it. We want some regulations here because you lot are taking a piss. And I feel like the players today, there's a lot of individualism. Like everyone is into their own thing, basically. And I don't think it's just a them thing. I really think this is just a society thing. I think we're just in a world where everyone just think about themselves and not just point. For other people. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. the only thing, and I mean, I want to give it some slack because the top players did send letters to the Grand Slam saying, yeah, we want better pay for all players, blah, blah, blah. Fine. But there was other things they needed to focus on, which was not making the 1,000 event 2 weeks. Do you get what I mean? The only person that was really fighting that, the big players, was Djokovic. Now I know there's some players, Sinner, that couldn't really fight off because as an Italian, he definitely can't go and say like, hey, this is a bad idea and blah, blah, blah. Maybe he did behind the scene, but maybe publicly he's not able to. So that was my biggest takeaway when I saw it. Like it was a thing of like, it was hard for me to feel sorry for the players because I think they could have done a lot more behind the scenes to fight this from happening. I'm not saying it could have happened because who's going to say no to that Arab money? Exactly. Money talks. Your little letters don't. So I get it. But which is why maybe they, you know, wanted to meet in the middle with the whole, you do it for 1 week, it's not mandatory, and it's 2028. Blah, blah, blah.
2027.
I'm seeing here 2028. It's 2028.
Is it 27? I thought it was 27.
Maybe they changed it recently, but all the articles here I'm seeing.
You're right. It's 28. My bad.
Yeah, 2028. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think?
I think you make a good point about like people kind of just looking out for themselves. Like, because I do feel like that is very much a society thing, Lucy, now. Like,
yeah, it is.
We're not so much, I don't know, thinking about like our fellow human being. And I don't want to get too kind of like caught up in like politics and stuff. But
of course,
yeah, like it's a weird time in that sense. But just focusing on like the tennis side of things, I just think it's very, it's tone deaf. I think that's the best way to sum it up. Like, because yeah, all the talk right now is of players kind of raising concerns about like the schedule and how it's like, just it's unworkable. And yet, yeah, the ATP now have gone and announced that, yeah, from 2028, we're going to have another Masters event, like included in the calendar. And I think again, like you said, because it's not mandatory, yeah, that's also a key kind of factor or something that should be kind of remembered or highlighted. But again, you said it, the money that's going to be put in front of these players to play, like, not many are going to turn that down. So, and you can't blame them. Like, so it's just, I feel like it's very unfortunate, but then at the same time, I feel like, and again, this is something I want to talk about, like in maybe a future episode, like just the way kind of tennis is kind of structured, I do feel like we do need to have just a new kind of, I guess, yeah, a new way of like working tennis in terms of like the way tournaments are played and like the way players have to commit to certain events. I to this day, Lucy, I'm blown away by the fact that players like get paid appearance fees to like appear at different tournaments on top of obviously, you know, the kind of tournament earnings that you get for winning a match, basically. Yeah. But on top of that, depending on who you are, like you're going to get like a certain fee to just literally show up. That doesn't sit well with me, but then at the same time, I'm not...
Tickets have to sell, bro. People go...
This is the thing, like it's a business, ultimately. Like this is, it's a business we're dealing with. So
look how many fans were so disappointed with how Basel went, with so many of the players pulling out and stuff. And that is what's going to be happening, plus more if this calendar is literally not fixed. Players have been, this entire, I feel like we've spoken so many times about the calendar, but this year was really the worst because we literally saw the effects of it. Like anytime we were changing to a new surface or we're getting to a specific time, players are dropping like flies. Like we've had so many players dropping out this season in the middle of a tournament. It's insane. Like yeah, honestly, you can't tell me it doesn't have to do with the calendar. But like when you're thinking that that we're finally going to make it shorter, they actually find a way to make it longer. But I think for me as well, there's more talk about the political aspect of it. You know, in the Middle East, they're doing the most to try and to change up because tennis is not the only thing. You know, when I speak to my friends from other sports, whether it's F1, same thing. Even comedy recently, I think they dropped millions and billions on different comedians to come and do shows in...
I did see that, actually. Like, Dave Chappelle and them, and like,
Yeah, exactly. So it's a thing of, like, they are really trying to do the most to change up their image. And I wonder if in 10... 15 years is going to make any difference. Like, I really wonder, but
we'll see
yeah. how it goes. Because one thing they need to remember as well, between 2008, anything can happen. Do you get what I mean? Like, we're going to have new faces, new players. Some of these players might retire, who knows? Barty did like a couple years, did her thing and bounced. Now she's living her best life, being a mom, selling books or whatever the hell she's doing. Do you get what I mean? So we'll see how it goes. To me, it was a very, 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 very bad thing that to be happening. And Djokovic is the one who has the last laugh because he has everything. He doesn't need to go. Mm-hmm. He can do whatever the hell he wants.
And he could be like, exactly, I told you, we'll see, like, I told you this is going to happen.
Either
way,
guys. And he did. He actually did. I think he did. None of you wanted to listen to me. And now here we are. So, yeah. But it is what it is, guys. We'll see how it goes. I hope you guys enjoyed this pod. I was going to say quick, but it wasn't quick. But
my bad.
We need to be back very soon.
We'll be back. I want to say we'll be back for the ATP Tour Finals.
I want us to be back for the WTA Finals when it's done.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It'll kind of like cross. Would it cross?
I don't think so. I think WTA Finals would be done before that, but... we shall see. Either way, I don't want this long break because then look at us. Yep, 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 yep. But you do like to hear us, yeah. But as I said on the beginning of a pod, keep in touch with our socials. We're definitely more active there. I will be back on TikTok soon. not been on TikTok since. I've not even opened it. I'm just like, I can't, but I'll be back soon. But yeah, guys, we'll catch you at the end of the ATP, at the end of the WTA finals and also the beginning of the ATP finals. ATP, if you want to send me some tickets, please feel free. at lucy@blackswingglobal.com. Thank you, guys.